For God's sake, Horst. Ah, God is dead, he said bitterly. Or at least he's banished this planet from his kingdom long ago. He beckoned her down with an agitated hand signal, glancing furtively at the open door. Ruth took a reluctant step closer to the cot, wrinkling her nose up at the smell.
I saw it, Horst said in a throaty whisper. Last night, it was there in the church.
What was there?
It, the demon they've summoned. I saw it, Ruth. Red, gleaming red, blinding red. The light of hell. Satan's eye opened and stared right at me. This is his world, Ruth, not our Lord Christ's. We should never have come here. Never.
Oh, shit, she murmured under her breath. A whole host of practical problems ran through her mind. How to get him back to Durringham, whether there was even a psychiatrist on the planet who could take over the little clinic he ran for the village. She scratched at the back of her sweaty hair, looking down at him as if he was some kind of elaborate riddle she was supposed to solve. Rimowy ran up the wooden steps to the door and barged in.
Ruth, he said breathlessly, I thought I'd find you here. Carter McBride is missing. Kid's been gone a couple of hours now. Someone said they saw him chasing that damn nuisance dog of his into the jungle. I'm organizing a search party. Are you in?
Rimowy didn't even seem to have noticed Horst.
Yes, she said. I'll get someone to watch Jay. Mrs. Cranthorpe is taking care of that. She'll get the kids into a group and give them some lunch. We're assembling by the hall in 10 minutes.
He turned to go.
I'll help, Horst said.
As you like, Rye said, and hurried out.
Well, you made a big impression on him, Ruth said.
Please, Ruth, you must leave this place.
We'll see after tonight. Right now I've got a child to help find. She paused. Damn, Carter's about the same age as Jay.
The drawn-out whistle brought them all running. Arnold Travis was sitting slumped against the foot of a mayoke tree. He just stared brokenly at the ground, silver whistle hanging from a corner of his mouth. The villagers arrived in pairs, crashing through the vines and scrub bushes, sending hordes of birds screeching into the baking sky. When they did stumble into the little glade, the sight which greeted them seemed to suck their strength from their limbs. A semicircle formed round a big cherry oak tree, stricken faces staring at its grisly burden. Paul Minani was one of the last to arrive. Vorix was with him, loping easily through the lush undergrowth. Canine senses bubbled into Poel's mind, the monochrome images, the sharp sounds and the vast range of smells. There was an overpowering scent of blood in the air. He pushed and elbowed his way to the front of the shocked crowd, caught sight of the cherry oak tree. Jesus! His hand came up to cover his mouth. Something deep inside wanted to let loose a primeval wail, just to shout and shout until all the pain was disgorged. Carter McBride was hanging upside down against the tree. His feet had been bound to the trunk with dried vine cords, making it look as though he was standing on his head. Both arms were spread wide, held parallel to the ground by a pair of stakes at each wrist. The long wounds were no longer bleeding. Tiny insects wriggled through the saturated grass below his head, gorging on the bounty. Dimitri McBride took two tottering steps towards his son, then sank down to his knees as though in prayer. He looked round at the circle of ashen faces with a faintly bewildered expression.
"I don't understand. Carter was 10 years old. Who did this? I don't understand. Please tell me."
He saw his own pain reflected in the weeping eyes surrounding him.
"Why this? Why do this?"
"The Ivets," Horst said. Little Carter's scarlet eyeballs were staring right into him, urging him to speak. "This is the inverted cross," he said pedantically. It was important to be right in a matter like this, he felt, important that they should all fully comprehend. "The opposite of the crucifix. They worship the light brother, you see. The light brother is diametrically opposed to our Lord Jesus, so the sects perform this sacrifice as a mockery. It's very logical, really." Horst found his breath was hard to come by, as if he'd been running a long distance. Dimitri McBride crashed into him with the force of a jackhammer. He was flung backwards, Dimitri riding him down.
You knew,
he cried, metal fingers closed round Horst's throat, clawing.
That was my son, and you knew.
Horst's head was yanked up, then slammed down into the spongy loam.